4/11/2017 to order, and the first order of business is Chief Operating Officer of Communications.
So, just a few things. First, I hope you all saw that Rory Brower sent us all a lot of emails yesterday with various notices for the solid waste facilities that are being communicated to the Metro. Okay. There were 6 notices. I know some of you didn't get, you got a list of all of them, and then you got the detailed one, the one that were in the district. If you have any questions, please let Lori know. So I hope you take a look at a couple of them. You might hear from her.
Oh, there must not be any in my district.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. District 1, 2, 3, and 5. So Shirley, Carlotta,
not me.
Greg, and Sam, which you've got. So Bob is on the book, and
unless
the he, in the email, did indicate the level of controversy that he expected, and he had a link to notices and with more details on the website. So a couple of them look like they might have been more controversial. Obviously, if the council hearing came from, it's crazy. You care in the abstract, but you don't care in the specific.
You definitely care.
The second thing I want to do is to make sure I invite you all to participate in the Bike More Challenge in 2017, partially because we know I like to ride the bike, but partially because Metro is a sponsor of that event every year. We will be hosting the regular NRC team and all of the regular events, including some biker breakfast in the plaza and activities with other boys. But, you know, if you have any interest, you can use your participation. And now it's not only about commuting to work, but any trip you take by bicycle. Mm-hmm.
Starting May 1st?
Starting May 1st.
Any bicycle?
Any bike trip you take, it counts. Helps our team.
And there's a little app that will feed directly into the Bike More Challenge.
There are several now. Strava goes in. Moves
goes in. But that new one
with
the lime green color is better than Moves.
Is it? Well, I'll have to look that one
up. Once you make sure it's actually working.
Well, if somebody could tell me what the easiest one is and I'll install it.
Yeah. We'll get into your team, but I will say any bike trip in month bank counts. And we need to, there's several agencies that we need to.
the image of a biker breakfast in the plaza.
A biker, that's kind of fun. Not every person wears a band vest. Yeah, other than bikers.
I do have a studded black leather biker's vest.
There you go. It's not practical for bicycle.
I just want to be able to wear it with it. And then just FYI, as part of my International City County Association duties, I have to be at the Northwest Regional City County Manager Conference parts of tomorrow, parts of Thursday, parts of Friday. So I'll be here most of the time, actually, but if you don't see me, that's where I am.
Is it like in the area, or do you jet somewhere?
It's at the Resort of the Mountains, so it's an hour away.
Wow.
So,
an hour and a half.
But Thursday is the budget message, and kind of a big council meeting, so I'm coming back to that. So, all right.
What happened? Okay. Next item on the agenda is the Regional Transit Strategy Draft Policy Framework and Vision.
Updates to various key parts of it, things like the freight fees, and one of our biggest pieces is our transit division for that RTP. You'll hear more about sort of where we left our last HCT plan in 2010, which was really mostly about looking at capital improvements in the region for high capacity transit and laying out a sequence. But frankly, since that time, so much has changed in the transit world that we need more than just a high capacity transit vision. We need to think about everything from load and fare, of course, bus service, shuttle service, sort of the range of not just capital projects, but the operational strategy and the funding strategy around transit. You know, the 2040 vision obviously depends on good transit and managing growth clearly depends on that. But we don't have the resources and the vision that matches where we are, where our region is today. So this is actually an extremely important time to update the transit vision. And we have an interesting new approach with partnerships that we've like not just TriMet, but SMART, Z-Trans, Portland, Portland Streetcar, and others. So this is kind of a jumping off from where we were a few years ago to something much more robust. And we know that as we in Metro start thinking more about equitable ways to deliver our work, that increasing transit is one of the most equitable things that we can do. And so as we look at what our region is going to look like in 20 years, how we're going to provide transit service, how that links with the equitable housing work we're going to do, this is a pretty key time to have this conversation, and it fits in the RTP really well. So I will leave it at that and let Jamie walk you through, because there's a lot to walk through here. As you know, Jamie knows a lot about transit. We'll lay it out and look forward to more sessions.
Thank you. So the packet, I felt like had a lot of information, pretty robust, so I'm going to go over the highlights and then leave more room for conversation and discussion. So hopefully I get all the highlights out in my presentation, and I will try not to talk too fast, but talk fast enough. So I just want to remind everybody, if you haven't seen this, what the objectives of the regional transit strategy is, and really it's really to implement the 2040 growth concept, to implement the climate smart strategy, the commitment that we made for that process. It's to update the RTP transit-related policies and performance measures, and it's looking at creating a coordinated plan, like Alyssa had mentioned, around transit operation service improvements. So if we combine the regional transit network now and the high-capacity transit map to have one overall transit vision. And then we'll be updating the transit system expansion policy, which is something that we're just starting to get into now. And then really looking at a coordinated investment strategy and how we can roll this stuff for all the transit network forward. So this really has been a collaborative effort. So we have been working with a group of regional partners, but we've also invited the transit providers that operate within our region and outside of our region. So we have Sandy Area Metro has been participating, Canby's been participating, Columbia County has, C-Tran, Salem Kaiser has come to every meeting. Without even hesitation.
They've taken the bus from here.
Yeah. So it really has been a collaborative effort. And then we're really looking to make sure we're not reinventing the wheel. It's been a while that we've done over the past few years. And so we want to build off of that work and make sure that it's all coordinated and moves forward in a logical way. And really looking towards how to build towards a path towards implementation. And then this will also serve as the transit model component of the RTP. So why now? Well, our region is growing, and you've heard the statistics before, but we grew over almost 41,000 between 2014 and 2015. To put that into context, that's two full climate buses a day for an entire year. And so that's a lot of growth. And as we grow, congestion gets worse. And we don't want everybody in their cars. We want to make sure that people have choices that they can bike, walk, take transit. And so we're really making sure that there's a way for that to happen. And you can't just simply put more buses on the road, otherwise people are stuck in traffic. And I think Andrea pointed out the perfect way to say this is that it's not convenient and it doesn't give people where they want to go to on time. They're just not going to ride. And so how do we make sure that we provide transit in an efficient way? 2040 growth concept is our foundation, and we want to build off of the commitments and the goals that we outlined in the Climate Smart Strategy. And the TriMet service enhancement plan has been providing us a good direction or jumping off point as far as the service plans, and SMART has been working on a master plan of their own. So there's a lot of work going on in the region to look at identifying what kind of service improvements to move forward with. And then we did adopt, not too long ago in 2010, the High Capacity Transit Plan. And the High Capacity Transit Plan identified the top two priorities to move forward, and those being the Southwest Corridor and the Apollo Vision Project. Well, those are moving forward towards implementation, so the question is, okay, well, what's next? But a lot has changed since this map was adopted that also needs to be considered. So, for example, on this map, the I-5 bridge crossing and the Portland-Oswego project were just kind of assumed to be in planning moving towards planning development and implementation, and both of those projects have been put on hold, so, what do we do with those? Another one is that we have a high-capacity transit connection to Damascus. Since then, Damascus has been disincorporated, so our policy is to making sure that we connect high-capacity transit to regional centers if it's no longer a city, is really needed, high cost of transit connection needed there. So this is also from the 2014 RTP. This is the adopted transit network. So we're really looking at updating both of these maps to be a coordinated one transit vision map. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the policy framework and the vision. So we're, like I mentioned, we're building up on the Climate Smart Strategy, and we've really adopted that as our jumping off point. So the vision statement for our project is to make transit more frequent, convenient, accessible, and affordable for everyone. And that's coming right out of the work that we all do as part of the Climate Smart. So to make, I'm not going to go through a whole lot of detail. They were in 1.17 that was in your packet, a list of the different strategies, but I just want to kind of go through a little bit about the different goals. So these are the goals that we identified as part of the vision. We want to make transit more frequent, and what we mean by that is aligning the frequency to the transit demand and to the land use and transportation vision. And how can we do that? We can do that by implementing our future service plans, by implementing TriMet's coordinated transportation plan for our seniors and people with disabilities, and coordinating with our local and regional land uses. We want to make transit more convenient, and that's making sure that it's reliable and gets people to where they want to go in a timely manner and on time. And that is competitive with a car. So again, it's looking at making sure that we implement the service plans that are being provided by the transit providers. That we improve connections between modes and different transit providers. So going back to the, we have a lot of different transit providers both within our region but outside the region. Investing in transit technology. There's a lot of, there's a new transit signal priority algorithm that we can be implementing to make sure that transit can get the signals faster. We want to expand our policies to increase that transit usage within the region. We want to make transit more accessible. Accessible is, there's two ways of looking at that. That's one is the access to transit, so making sure that we provide safe walking and biking access to transit, but also making sure that transit takes us to where we need to go. It takes us to work. It takes us to our jobs, our houses, our daily needs, our commuting places. And so another part of this is making sure that we coordinate with the shared mobility and the ride sourcing. So they provide a really good role in that first and last mile where it might not be efficient for transit, but it might be something better for our competitive product and looking at how we can coordinate that. And making transit more affordable. So we want to implement the TriMet Metro recommendation for the low-income task force. We want to expand on the payment options. So the hot pass provides another opportunity to provide for a more affordable way to provide transit. And then expand on the student pass program. So then we started talking about, okay, well, these are our goals, these are our strategies. Well, how do we start implementing that and building a new transit strategy? So we've heard a lot about this emerging concept of enhanced transit corridors, and really what that's looking at is making sure that we can move transit, invest in the capital improvements, or move transit more efficiently, increasing capacity and reliability at low cost, doing it quickly, and being very context sensitive. So there's not a one size fits all. It's really kind of a whole different variety of tools that we can use to make sure that we're providing the right transit to the right areas. And within this, the concept has been developed that there's kind of two different levels. One is a lower level, which would be a partnership between a local agency and a transit provider to provide some small type projects. Maybe it's access to transit, or maybe it's a segment of a corridor that just is a bottleneck that needs to be fixed. And then a level two enhanced transit could be more of the modest to larger scale projects. So a streetcar project would be considered, or division BRT would be the higher end of that enhanced transit corridor. And we're calling this a new emerging concept, but it's really not. So this is the definition of our high capacity transit. And really, high capacity transit doesn't say it has to be a specific mode, but it's really saying that we want to carry a high volume, high number of people, quickly and efficiently. And we want to make sure that we're avoiding traffic by moving faster and increasing frequency, and we're providing the appropriate amenities. And that's really what our high capacity transit definition is. So it's a new way of looking at it, but it's nothing new that we haven't considered. So what we've been developing is this transit, regional transit spectrum. So on one edge of the spectrum, you've got service that might be less frequent, less capacity, in mixed traffic, serving maybe local neighborhoods or local areas, to higher capacity, exclusive guideway, more frequent, connecting regional centers. And on one side, you might be locally funded. On the other side, it's locally and federally funded. So it's kind of the bookends of the different spectrum. And we've been doing a lot of work with this over the past few years. So again, we're not trying to recreate the wheel. So China's been working with a service enhancement plan and smart with their master plan, really looking at, okay, well, within our existing system, how we improve our service. And they've been looking at the local buses, which is really those shuttle buses, the community and job connectors, and then the regional buses is the peak hour or all-day frequent service, and then the frequent service bus.
So like the Grove Link and the
North Hillsboro.
That's the local bus you're talking about?
Correct.
Great, thank you.
And we've also had the 2010 Hyde Bus and Transit Plan, which started to identify where we would put bus rapid transit and light rail and commuter rail and rapid streetcar. And so really what we're kind of talking about now is this middle piece, which is the enhanced transit corridors, and how I mentioned that there's a couple of different levels. There's a level one that might be the partnership between the local agencies and the transit provider, and then another that is more of those capital investments. And so really there's kind of expanding on what used to be called the high capacity transit now, and maybe calling it more something about transit capital investments. Where are we going to invest capital money to make big improvements to move transit faster? So this is a map that we have, I've been taking out to the transit work group and all the coordinating committees and asking for input. What you're seeing on the map is a lot of information, so I'm going to walk through it. The thick orange lines is TriNet's future frequent service, and the thin orange lines is the TriNet local bus. And you really can't see it, and you don't need to. It's more for background information. I want to start with the map first. And then the purple funding lines were what was adopted in the 2010 HCT plan with the modifications that I talked about before. So it made Division BRT in Southwest Corridor move into economic development, it took away the line to Damascus, and it took the Portland to Lake Oswego and the I-5 bridge crossing and made those future corridors. So that's the difference with the purple lines. And then the blue lines and the blue circles are identifying a combination of both solutions and needs. So the blue lines are what the local agency partners have been saying, well, this is where we think we need future improvements in our system. And then the circles are identifying bottlenecks. And so those are places like Gateway, Downtown, Steel Bridge, Sunset. And then another one is the Amber Glen Tanisborne area, where they're really looking at, they have the first and last mile need that they want to fix or implement something there to help facilitate that need. And then the thicker arrows are the connections to other transit providers. So, you know, from Gateway up to Multnomah Falls, we've got connections to Candy and Sandy and to Salem, and making sure that we provide those connections in out of our region. I do want to mention that I mentioned, you know, the circle around downtown. That was something that came out at the very beginning of this process when I asked the transit work group, what are the things that you're concerned about or issues that you see reason to solve? And they kept adding that getting through downtown is so hard. And so I highlighted that as so that's a need. I don't have a solution, but that's definitely a need that needs to be considered. We're still working on the map. Trying to figure out, well, what does that future vision, what's missing from the map, what we need to be thinking about, and we'll be continuing to work on that throughout the summer. And then the other piece of that is we'll be updating the transit system expansion policy. So the system expansion policy was supposed to be, it came out of the HCT plan, and it was meant to guide local jurisdictions on how to move transit projects forward. What we want to do is that there's been a lot of regulatory changes that have happened, you know, at the federal level, local level, that we want to make sure that we capture within the system expansion policy to make sure that we are moving projects forward that can get implemented. And this would apply only to projects that would be moving forward into the FTA capital investment grant program. So we want to simplify the existing criteria. We want to make it easier for local agencies to understand what they need to do and how they need to do it. And then we want to guide the decision-making process to help prioritize those projects. And another piece of the pie that that's changed since then is we've changed how we've done the local planning. So we want to make sure that we incorporate all of that into how we look at it. So, I hope I did those quick but not good. So, I would like to ask for your, I'd love to have a discussion here about what you think about the goals that I discussed. So, we want to make transit more frequent, convenient, accessible, affordable. The strategies that we've been identifying, what's missing, is there anything missing that we should be considering? I would love to hear about any changes, your thoughts on the proposed changes to the HCT map. What do you think about the enhanced transit corridor concept and looking at it more about where we invest in capital funds into our transit network? And then any ideas that you all have about what we should be exploring as we are diving into the system expansion policy, looking at criteria for prioritization.
Okay. Comments, Bob? You can go.
It's unusual. Thanks, Jamie. This will be pretty conceptual questions, which I think is okay at this stage. The attention to enhanced transit. I know the city of Portland came forward with this idea a little while back that we need a way of recognizing alignments and services that could benefit from capital planning, could have a route to get potentially federal money and other sources that are outside of the current implementation or service funding for TriMet. When I look at the overlapping definitions, it occurs to me that every frequent service line ought to be an enhanced transit eligible line. And that what we're talking about is not so much there's enhanced transit, there's frequent service, there's BRT, but that we have a new vision about how we're going to coordinate the development of resources for the improvements on both BRT alignments and frequent service alignments, and maybe some of the regional express-only stuff, as opposed to there being a different category of service. Is that right?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So the way that the conversation we've been having about the enhanced transit is really looking at those frequent service lines and how to make them better. So absolutely. And then there's going to be a variety of different ways that we can do that. And even just looking at the definition of the enhanced transit corridors, there's so much in there. It could be one piece of it, or it could be a multiple different types of improvements that you want to do in a corridor. And it might be a corridor, or it might be just an intersection or a segment. And so we're trying to figure out how all of that works. The City of Portland has a TGM grant right now to do enhanced transit work within the City of Portland. So I've been participating in the project management group and the working group trying to figure out, okay, well, kind of let them figure out all the kinks and guiding it how I think it applies to the region.
Yeah.
So that what we can do is once they've, won and failed and, and we provide our input, is take that and apply it to the rest of the region.
If
and
it works. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking at, well, what does this mean for the region as we're, not just the City of Portland, but how does it work for all the big frequent service lines? And then also that it could be something that could be applied to pieces of that could be applied to maybe quarters that want to be frequent service. And so what are some things that you can do to make those quarters a little bit better? And so it's really kind of, it's not a different mode, it's just really bringing in more types of improvements that can make them our kind of system.
There's one piece I would add, which is, as Jamie just mentioned, there are a number of things related to transportation system performance improvements that can kind of fit in that spectrum of how do you make the buses run more frequently and more regularly in those corridors. But the other thing about enhanced transit corridors is there's a relationship between the transportation performance and the land use performance. And so where we expect to see equitable housing, where we expect to see job centers, ideas of where enhanced transit corridors are actually going to lead to managing growth, being equitable, generating ridership. And so I think that's the other thing we've been having a conversation about is we're not just approaching the metro from how do you move the transportation faster, but what is the land use relationship?
And I would fully concur that if we're going to run a frequent service bus out Shoals Ferry Road and intercept an extension of Cornelius Pass Road out there, we don't want 2040 development around town centers. We want an efficient service that gets back into the urban area and makes those connections and can overlook the fact there's an urban level of service on a rural facility because we're not going to have land uses that would support it in that area. But just as a general proposition, I'd love to see an enhanced frequent service map, if you will, that working with TriMet, working with our other transit providers, we actually encourage them to think, as Neil has done, as TriMet has done with the service enhancement strategy, yet farther over the horizon. So we can think about, do we have the density of frequent service, north, south, east, west, or the relative directions in other parts of the region that we really need to support the 2040 plan? Thanks.
Carla?
Well, I really like this work a lot, and I particularly like this notion of potential enhanced transit corridor. We have an integrated system, but it can always get better and faster and more convenient, more comfortable. And so in terms of your questions, yes, I think the goals are on the money. The proposed changes and additions to the HCT system have, I still have questions about what happens with Powell. Powell Division was, and that may be a whole other discussion, but I know Powell Division was the next big corridor. We've moved it to Division, and in the last conversation about it, it was said that we will get back to Powell. And so I think there was certainly, I had some concern about not announcing other projects out.
Yeah.
Because of that, we're going to double invest in that corridor. And as I said, that may not be the conversation for today, but that is one that I think we need to address. I certainly agree with bumping out the projects that we know are not going to happen, like Damascus and Lake Oswego Streetcar, at least for my lifetime. not maybe your lifetime.
You know, Jamie Bell, the original, work on that project, so she's not retiring until it's built.
That's right. But kids are old, so plenty of time. And you've got kids, you can take that and add to it. Could be multi-generations. And of course, the I-5 one, I think. Whatever.
That's a project, all right. It's yet to be invented.
But so I do think that changing the priorities in the plan are all that makes just a ton of sense. I've already addressed the enhanced corridor idea. I like that a lot. And capital project prioritization criteria. There was a lot in the system plan that we did. I got shut out of Granicus as I was finishing up reading my packet, so I didn't read everything in it. But if it's in there, sorry, but I just think we need to address that.
Have it back in front of us, Carla.
Pardon?
Have the text of the plan back in front of us.
Well, just what were those priorities?
Yeah.
And what are the criteria? And how do we think we're going to be changing them?
I want to address that last point on the PowerPoint because they fit together really well, which is we look at this as the planners. We look at the model and where we think the transportation system needs to grow in order to manage population and employment growth. And we look at it from a nice technical standpoint and we put these things on the map. And then prioritization goes from a technical process to a much more political conversation about who's ready and what are all the other factors that come into play around prioritizing a project. And so as we do our transportation plan, the needs on Powell will technically probably be the same, no matter what we've done on the division. That's a really busy corridor. It's a state highway. It's got quite a bit of demand. And so from a technical standpoint, that project will still have a need. And I think that's what we've identified through the division transit project, that we went to solve one transportation problem, and you're solving part of it, but not all of it. Similarly, around the criteria for project prioritization, again, we'll have a number of things that sort of lay out technical cases for different things to move forward. The system expansion policy speaks to local government readiness, so who else has their skin in the game? What are the resources? What are the land use commitments? You think about what happened with Tiger and Southwest Corridor, where they clearly lined up all their land use to be ready for something for transit. And so there will be a point in which we lay out technical criteria, and we'll have to talk to you more about sort of what happens around prioritization. And those of you who lived through this last one around what happened with Southwest Corridor or what happened with these other ones know that from technical to priority, there's a lot of work, and that's why we're wanting to make sure we're having this conversation.
Great.
Thank you. I've got three or four questions, and then I'll answer your questions. My first question is, if you go to the Transit Strategy Vision Memo, and you go to table one. On the left side, it's broken into like four different areas that are existing policies. And some of them are separated by thick lines, and then there's narrow lines. And I was curious how those got grouped together, because they don't necessarily seem to go together. Like the first one is build the total transit network, et cetera, and then underneath it, improve the local transit service. Those two things don't seem to be at the same level. And then there, down the way, there's a couple more of those. My question is, maybe I understand this, but I want to make sure that I do. Are those grouped together? Because then as you go to the regional transit strategy goals on the right-hand side, do those two policies both go toward the same goals or are met with those two policies? Is that correct? Okay, so I did look at it correctly. Good, thank you. I also wanted to clarify, then if you go to attachment 2, which is the spreadsheet that then shows defining the strategy vision or the transit strategy vision and strategies. If you look at the goals across the top, those coincide to the goals that were in the memo. One of the problems with doing this on a screen is you can't take two pages and hold them up side by side and to see if they're the same.
You can't even bounce through two windows.
It's tough. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that that's how that was connected together. We've got the memo that then goes into, and then it breaks down into the more specific strategies to meet those. Good. Thank you.
The longer you hear about this, the more it's going to be stuck in your head. Being convenient, accessible, and affordable. That's the touchstone for all of it.
I can't imagine anybody taking us on any one of those and saying, that's not appropriate.
That's not
okay, then going back to the questions that you had.
Where'd those go?
Good. Hold that. There we go. I would say these go. Oh, there was one more question I had, and that is in the vision memo under that first table one. It's defined as saying existing and potential transit policies, but it doesn't really identify which ones are existing and which ones are new or which ones are potential.
So the on the table, left hand side is all existing.
Okay, those are all existing. Okay, because I'm like, I don't see anything there that I didn't already recognize.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the right-hand side is taking those goals and what we want to do.
Taking the policies and how do we address the goals. That's different. Okay. So, yeah, I don't have any problem with any of those. I think they're all going the right direction. I agree with the updates to the system map that need to be made. You know, it's just... water is under the bridge, things have changed, not policies have changed, but the political spectrum has changed. And we all know, I agree with your assessment of all of those that ought to change, is that for good reason those need to change. I like the idea of the enhanced transit corridor concept. I think that ties really well to the overall corridor planning concept, and I would suspect that actually came out of, because like when we did Southwest Corridor, not just transit, everything. How do we tie it all together? So I suspect that this came out of that more than the other way around. So I think that links together with our overall growth strategies and how we address corridors. When it comes to specific ideas regarding transit capital project prioritization, when we get done with when the Southwest Corridor line is built, we will have essentially built out the system that was originally identified back in the 80s. Now, I'm not sure whether Powell Division was in that original concept or not. But it's moot because by the time Southwest Corridor is built, it'll already have been built.
So we'll have an enhanced bus.
Yeah. So I'll stand by my comment that essentially that system is now built that we originally envisioned.
Except for Vancouver and Oregon City.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, Southwest is built.
Well, that's right. When it's built.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, we have to finish the north-south.
So I think there's, at some point, and it may be, that might be a good time to do it, it will be the time to go back and evaluate the existing system and look at the flaws that are in it that wouldn't be apparent until it had been built and in use for a while. And the downtown issue is a perfect example of that. And how do we go about addressing those areas that are already built but need to be redone or done in a different way, whether that be with with scheduling, planning, even different capital construction, whatever. But at some point, it would be appropriate for us to kind of step back from running a new line and say, how do we make the existing system we've now got work better? And that might be the time to do it. And that would be one of my first priorities, would be to address. I hear this everywhere and continuously, that it's too slow through downtown. How do we fix that? There's got to be a way. Not going to be easy. If there was, we already would have figured it out. But it's got to be addressed.
I think most of you know this, but it's just fair repeating, which is, in the capital investment program, in addition to new starts and small starts, there are two other funding sources. One is called core capacity, which is the expansion of existing capacity, and one is called state of good repair, where you're taking existing systems and making them better. And so that's part of what we're contemplating, which is not just the new starts, small starts capital investments, but what belongs to having state of good repair and core capacity.
Well, I think as TriMet's financial fortunes have improved recently, they've done a good job of addressing the issue of good repair. You know, they've done a couple of big things. They're getting ready to do another one downtown, and I think those are all appropriate. That's one thing, but that's different than looking at capital project priorities.
Unless we can get the federal government to do 50%.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah, and some of the core capacity is part of the new starts or core capacity, so that could be a way to get some federal help in building some of those bigger capacity improvement type projects. And I will just trigger something else I want to make sure that we understand too, is that we're a young transit.
Compared to Boston.
Yeah. New York City, Paris.
Boston's the oldest in North America.
But we're reaching that age now where our system's starting to become old, so we're going to start seeing a lot of repairing and maintaining our aging system as being less priority. And that's something that we're also trying to make sure that we get captured in here. Going back to the table one that you asked about, on the right-hand side, we've added a bullet there. It's not part of our vision statement, but saying that we need to start maintaining and repairing mm-hmm. our existing system and improving the bottlenecks that we have in our existing system.
So that system is, what, 30 years old? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
31,
32. So thank you.
And if any of you have ridden BART lately, you'll see what happens when that doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, frankly, or D.C. Metro.
Yeah.
They've been,
although they're making some, they're doing some improvements now in D.C. Metro that are very frustrating for people who ride D.C. Metro, yeah. But they're also doing some upgrades to some of the cars.
And Grace Crime just got $1 billion from the voters to do the same thing in BART, so things are looking up.
Sure.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, half a
gazillion,
please.
Shirley,
go ahead. Well, my comments are whatever comment. I know you're not yet at the point of the math, and because that's what I'm looking for, the math. And so I can give feedback on what I think should be what the math should look like. And so some of my comments are actually really around the map, even though it doesn't exist yet. One of them is I was hoping that. I guess this goes into the state repair. It goes along with what Craig is saying. Is I think it is time to begin to talk about how we're going to improve the current system and have that part of the discussion. And of course, one of them is the undergrounding of rail somewhere that really will make it more efficient. Because right now we want to improve ridership, and TriMet's ridership is somewhat flat, as I understand. And I think even though a new line is prophecy, I mean, what we're going to do is Southwest Corridor. We really need to also figure out how we make sure the current system is really going to be growing and more people will be using it. So I'd like to see we address this sooner than later and not wait and have this as part of the transit strategy. The other one is, I was hoping there might be a focus, or there will be a focus, I know you're not at the map stage yet, but is a hub systems where the outer parts of the region where the local cities are connected together in some way that connects to the spoke system. And I don't know if you are having discussions with the cities about that, but I think for some people that live in the region, that's more appealing to them than the spoke system. Then the capital project, I think your question was, what are our thoughts and comments about capital projects or specific ideas regarding transit capital project prioritization? So what would we want to put in the criteria that to be for someone, before a city jurisdiction can be lined up? Because obviously they have to be a partner, and I assume that you need a partner, and we need to define what partnership means. Mm-hmm. And they really have to be willing and want to have that transit line come their direction. And then the redundancy. I would want, and maybe this goes along with the current system that we have, but making sure, you know, Council Harrington's really been good at making sure that we are looking ahead at protecting ourselves for a future catastrophic event. And I think redundancy is going to be really important to think about when it comes to that Lima River, and that there's, we can get a train across it in case there is a significant earthquake. And then just a specific route question I have, and I know, again, that we're not that far along yet, is to consider what we're doing about Foster Boulevard. This is a major, become a major route in to the city, and Portland is slowly, you know, is narrowing the route, which I understand why they are. And then the outer route is along a really important creek system. There's no way to, and a block on the other side, so there's no way to widen it. So how can we use transit to improve transportation choices in that direction? So I guess my comments are more specific than they are in general. But
that's a good point about enhanced transit in general, is there are many facilities around the region where the roads are built, the footprint is there, and you're not going to be able to expand the road or get more right away. But more people are going to move there and more traffic is going to come. So this idea of how do you get the most transit performance out of the existing roadways is really one of the underlying issues around enhanced transit corridors. And so I think, actually, Foster is an excellent example of how do you get the maximum performance within the existing footprint. If those are streets like that are all over the region, where you can't do more to them.
Right, so how do you
right?
Because Foster leads to the, where the intersection of 190th and 172nd will occur at some point. That's where you connect two counties, four cities, or three cities now. And so that's a really, so traffic is coming from multiple directions. Mm-hmm. And so Foster, I want to just see it a little bit.
Kevin. Well, at least three of us, and I think four of us, have TV highway in our districts.
Yeah.
And
hey, wait a second, before we get Foster in there, I had to take the opportunity.
I consider TV Highway to end up in Hillsdale, and so this is my district, too.
There you go. See, interest is building every single day. Can I start with questions first? On your fact sheet, I saw that Yamhill County Transit was listed, and I really hope that they're participating. I got a little bit of a head nod.
Just been a lot in the beginning, and they've kind of dropped off. I need to re-engage with transit providers again. So they participated a lot at the beginning. Because they're small, they're one person jobs, it's hard for them.
Yeah.
And so I'm re-engaging them.
Well, so then your map proposal, because I think that's what it is at the, it's at an illustrative stage, is the way I took it. I'm impressed by the amount of service that Yamhill County Transit and I think Columbia County have in the Forest Grove, West Hillsborough to Tannisbourne area of Hillsborough, and I really appreciate how expansive this map is. It has our full district, east, west, north, south. And when I first looked at the connection down there with Newburgh to Sherwood, I was wearing on my, you know, various, imagine I'm different hats, right? And I was like, okay, so we're at this illustrative exploring stage. Will their feedback come back that, hey, wait a minute, they service our district, there's connections there, you can't just try and funnel it all through Sherwood. So I don't know, just for what it's worth, just want to make sure that isn't the kind of experience that is the first one that they imagine. Jeepers. I appreciate the care that you've taken in putting together all the information to show us the possibilities that can go into this. The Aloha Tomorrow project is going on in our districts, and Metro staff has been trying to make sure I know the good things that are going on. And I read, it was given or directed to one of the studies that was done by a consultant that had some phraseology that really concerned me around reducing the number of stops. Here you talk about wider spacing. It's so much clearer because wider spacing is still reflective of that customer experience. And the document also had a real clumsy wording around ADA. And, well, if we just eliminated ADA use,
oops,
we could make the bus faster. And that's right. Both of the ways they were put, it was like one of those Catherine Hare on fire moments. I was like, bah! You know, as an elected official, I don't want this to be a final work product from a consultant to the project team. Because it could be misunderstood.
We know what they mean, but, yeah.
Well, I went, bah!
So clearly she did. That
means something entirely different.
First read, at least.
There you go. So back on your questions, I really liked the goals and the strategies were very clear there. I have to go back to attachment 4. I was trying to get my head around level 1 and level 2. And when I first looked at this electronically, I repeated the same mistake here. I was looking at the level descriptions and the potential improvements, and I thought to myself, boy, you know, we really need to invest in queue jumping, and we really need to invest in signal prioritization. And that word, you have it in the strategies, like invest, and participate. I really needed to see the word invest. You used the word improvement at the top. But as an elected official, I need to see and hear it as a policy investment choice, is what I'm trying to get at. And then when I was looking at the level 1 enhanced transit, I was thinking about how some of these major arterials in our jurisdictions at their regional transit level, cut across multiple jurisdictions, but they're on ODOT facilities. And so the state isn't just the funder, but as the local jurisdiction wants to make improvements and investments, they really need that partnership. And there's so much here that I just wanted to make sure that hear from you that you think that partnership level is reflected in here for us elected types to see.
Yes, all of this work has to be done by partnerships, and all of the transit work that we've been doing has always included strong partnerships like our boulevards and our facility. PMLR was on 99 with ODOT. We were doing the Powell Division Corridor, which is ODOT, and then local. We're now on a local stadium, so it's a little bit different.
I think part of where I'm coming from is that you did a nice job, you know, teeing this up at the beginning about how our revenue and our aspirations aren't matching up. And what I thought in my head is, oh yeah, the really hard work is going to come into the financial side of things and prioritizing. And, you know, it's not like we can all just turn to our TriMet partner and say, so how are you going to solve that problem, right? But instead, we all have to take on that really important work. So I that's all I just wanted to highlight. And then I have on your last, I didn't mean to cut you off. If
I was just going to respond to ODOT, which is, it's true that when you put a transit project on a highway facility and you convert it essentially from functioning as a highway to essentially a multimodal corridor, there are differences in standards that we have seen in previous projects and would see again on a TV highway if we proceeded in that direction. Mm-hmm. And so that's always the question is, does this facility function as a highway or a multimodal corridor or something in between? And I think it's an excellent point for us to start contemplating as in this stage of the plan, sort of the how we want to contemplate converting highway facilities to other functions to manage growth at a local level, or if not, what are the consequences of not doing that? So I think that's a really important point that I think all of us have already felt.
And the reality is that a jurisdiction may have that partnership with region-level ODOT, and then when things get final approval at the state level, it all falls apart again. So it's hard.
That's why some of the ones on state highways are the ones we haven't done yet.
The criteria part, I haven't figured that one out yet. I wasn't sure. So we have, you know, hierarchies in the current HCT plan and criteria on that. So there's something about looking at the material that I wasn't sure, is this just an open question or did I miss something in the material that I should have given further reflection on?
It's more of an open question. We're at the beginning of that process, and so we have an existing high-capacity transit plan.
Yeah.
And have 26 different evaluation criteria, and that's a lot for for the TV highway folks to be able to sit through 26 different evaluation criteria. We should really think about what's the most important information we need to know to move forward. And so let's start thinking about, well, what are those things?
So the way you were phrasing between the two of you, how do we get the most out of the roadways and system ways we have is one level that I think about it. And then the other is there's the space, but there's also the utilization of the technology. And for me, there are appreciable policy investment decisions we need to make. And I honestly don't want to spend more time looking at lines on a map versus having more of the existing lines that we have on maps, including your illustrative one, maximizing value on those, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I actually think the idea of one of the, like, looking at prioritization criteria around which one gets us the biggest system performance bang for the buck is a criteria that sort of exists but probably needs to be updated in this new context. So I think that's a good one to identify that.
Thank you.
Sam?
Well, I really like the comments and insights that I've heard, and really like what you've included in the presentation. And around that, I guess I'm thinking about the vision, the regional transit vision statement, and I like it. But I guess one thing that comes to mind to me somehow is Steve. And I see it in a lot of information, and I think sometimes we just expect that as part of it, and maybe that's what happened when we designed some of the first light rail systems, is we just sort of expected it, and I'm not sure we accomplished it right through downtown, and I think we still face some of those challenges, and so I think even up front, right up front, because you could have frequent, convenient, accessible, and affordable, and actually not have space.
It's not convenient.
And I think to your point, like, people aren't going to ride it if it's not a couple of the woman that you have quoted.
You know when you're going to get there. You don't know when.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just a comment. And then I think also your system bang for the buck part. But that's the other. Is to me is. As a regional entity, to me, one of the fundamental things we need to be focused on is the bang for the buck, equation, and where are we getting the most for our dollar. And So there's kind of a tier thing, you know, there's a baseline, we've got to get X for a dollar, and then let's argue about geography, who's getting what, you know, where things should land. And so to me, I can almost accept just about any decision if those baseline, like I look at, you know, why isn't St. John's, you know, in the corridor? Well, you know, I accept that as long as I have an understanding that it's really based on sort of that fundamental anchor bug and volume.
Shirley.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hear the other comments. I'm mostly pondered. I'm going to go back to the capital one, you know, that last open-ended question you were asking. Specific items regarding transit capital. And with our experience now with the PAL division, now division, is that, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to just want to emphasize that partnership, is that we're not moving into an area, a city, without knowing that they really are on board. That this is something that everybody's agreed to, even though it's on the map, doesn't mean that it's a priority on the map. It doesn't mean that we choose that project unless we know we have full partnership and support of all the jurisdictions that are in that alignment.
And I think partnership is an interesting question. Is it acknowledged with financial resources, with intergovernmental agreements, with land use policy changes? We've seen various indicators of partnership in that region as we move forward with things like Milwaukee or Tiger. And so I think as we flesh out what does partnership mean, I think that's a key lesson we've all learned, which is this is not for the region to push it on any local jurisdiction, it's for the local jurisdictions to pull it to themselves. And so I think we'll want to talk more with you about what does partnership really mean and what is the level of which you're going to expect a commitment.
Yeah, second. Yeah. Good, good. I appreciate it. You described what I was thinking. And then going back to Sam's comment about FAST, I think I almost feel where things more reliable about, you know, having a transit system that we definitely can rely on. I'm thinking of the MAX line, even though it's not FAST, you want to make sure you can depend on it. And the MAX line, the first one that was built to Gresham, is often not as late or slow because some car has crossed the track and got stuck, or they've crossed the track where there's no intersection or something along the way. So how do we build a system that we know we can rely on that is not going to have all these other interferences? And so I think that should be part of this discussion as we move forward, is not so much how fast it is, that we just know we're going to get from point A to point B in a specific amount of time, and that there aren't going to be a lot of interferences with that that's going to make it so you can't get there.
Well, many of you have heard the statistic we quoted about this corridor, right? It'd take you between 17 minutes and 55 minutes to get from PSU to Bridgeport. But on the light rail, it will take you 30 minutes every time. And I think that's what you're saying, is
right.
More reliability and predictability, not knowing the difference between whether you leave a half an hour earlier or 90 minutes.
Yes. But it's also how we build it, that we know that there's going to be fewer interferences as over time. And with the blue line to Gresham, over time, those intersections really create problems for the MAX and slow it down a lot.
Catherine?
I just wanted to observe that some of the comments that Councillor Chase made reminded me that I'm still struggling with a way through things like the in that attachment 4 or in various places where we're dealing. What it reminds me is that when often transit is the system that folks with the fewest resources are able to turn to. And I remind myself of that phrase, people with the fewest resources. Because if you know, I've heard cases in the conversation points over the years that say, well, you know, we're only increasing the travel time by 2 minutes. Well, yeah, but everybody only has 24 hours in the day. And, you know, the people with the fewest resources, that's a bigger chunk of their day that changed than more privileged folks. And I find myself at this stage thinking about the various approaches that you've brought us up to speed on today, and reminding myself, I keep calling it the John Merman slide set from the 2014 RTP, that is a stark reminder for me of how conditions around poverty have changed throughout our region, and certainly after that, we had a lot of work around establishing the strategy to advance racial equity, so to better appreciate historically disadvantaged communities. And I think I'm grasping for sort of a conditions or system reminder as we move further along in the RTP, particularly around transit. So that we're not losing, I'm not losing that this need for making improvements for the transit dependent riders, the people with the fewest resources and flexibility in their days.
There's a couple of things that I want to follow up on. We start off our vision with to make transit more frequent, convenient, accessible, and affordable. And really, we wanted to make sure that it was for everyone, that it wasn't, that really we were convincing everyone of being able to do this, to have this opportunity. And then I've been working really closely with Grace on the equity piece of the RTP, so her and I are completely connected, understanding that transit helps everyone, particularly those who depend on the most limited resources. And so making sure that the things that we were talking about and discussing reflect what her group is telling us as a priority, and that we'll see a lot of the performance measures that happen throughout the RTP process are going to be linked between the equity component and the transit component, understanding that there's a that's just they're married together.
So as an elected official, am I using quote-unquote, the right terminology to be reflecting back the importance of that, or is there more meaningful phraseology?
Two questions. One is...
And if we should take this offline, that's fine, too. I don't mean to bog us down.
The idea of equity in the RTP is an overarching guiding principle of every piece of work we're doing. I think you've seen that through team work. But I think what I hear you saying is that around project prioritization and investment decisions, that equitable choices and performance
yes.
for those
yes.
and be become supported become a priority
very visible.
For us
yep.
to make choices.
Yep. Yep.
So I think that
okay.
that's really important piece of that for us to make.
Thank you. Thank you. Very helpful.
Craig.
Thank you. A couple of things occurred to me when Sam was talking about speed. And I had a conversation with a constituent about division. And they were going like, how are you going to have these rapid buses zipping down that narrow, congested street? How's that going to be safe? And I made the point, and as I was making it, realized that was the point. That it's not that the vehicle is traveling at a higher speed, it's because it's an express and there are larger gaps between stops that the travel time is reduced from one end to the other. It's not the speed of the vehicle, it's how fast you get from point A to point B. And so I think that's something that we're not as clear on sometimes as we could be.
That's more what I meant than
sure.
actual picking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but the problem is that when you say that, the uninitiated don't know that that's what you mean, and that's
yeah.
kind of we need to consider that. Also, I wanted to ask, when you're considering capital project prioritization, was there any discussion at all about fleet upgrade as being part of that? Now, typically I know we tend to address more the fixed infrastructure because operations and whatnot are TriMet's, that's their job. But it is a capital cost, replacing buses, improving buses, and I think we're at a cusp right now where there are going to be significant technological changes to the vehicles themselves as we convert over to alternative fuel sources, whether they be electric buses or even natural gas, other kinds of things. So I don't know whether it's appropriate as part of this discussion and as part of this process or program, whether the cost of that kind of conversion be taken into consideration as well.
So as part of the added goals in that table one that we're adding
really emphasizing that for an aging system, and we're going to help to start repairing and cleaning. And a lot of it is part of the fleet conversation as well. It's like our fleet is getting older.
But not just the trailers, the buses too.
Right. Well, the buses are older than the light rail vehicles, and so Prime has been dealing with that conversation for a while, and we're bringing buses as they can, and that's going to be ongoing program that Prime is going to have to keep doing is upgrading the buses. The other hard part about that is the light rail vehicles, they're a lot more expensive, and now they're getting to a point now where they're getting to be 25, 30 years old, that they're going to have to start being replaced. And so that's a whole other program or conversation that's going to need to happen to maintain our aging system.
San Francisco, they've got streetcars.
Ancient
ones. Yeah, that have been around. I don't think they've
ever phased out any mode of transportation that they've ever developed.
I think you're, but you know, even not even considering the cable cars here. I rode just a trolley in San Francisco that has been in continuous operation, other than I assume, but it's been taken away and rebuilt and then brought back again since the 30s.
Mm-hmm. I think related to this, I think that there are a bunch of elected officials who aren't familiar with the situation that TriMet has renovated many of the light rail, mm-hmm. because they only had to spend like $250,000 as opposed to $2.5 million for a new train. I don't know, after doing one of those rehabs, if they can rehab it multiple times to extend the life, or if one rehab and then replaces it. So I'll need you to help me as an elected official, and I think others will benefit from understanding what are the models. I like models and scenarios and framework. What sort of model might be, or models might be applicable for solving some of these needs?
So I'm always a little nervous to jump into this discussion at the very end, because everybody has really brought forward a compendium of issues around this, and I somehow missed the one that I was thinking about, and I'm never quite sure whether that means that I actually did go to sleep instead of just working on I was asleep. But about 2 years ago, we were wrapping up the Climate Smart Communities thing with a big hootenanny at the end, and the gathered, assembled masses voted pretty profoundly for, what was it, item B, if I remember correctly, which was enhanced transit that was going to get us even beyond the climate smart goals that we had been assigned. Does any of this, as we have prepared this regional transit strategy vision, envision the additional transit that we were talking about in that discussion?
Yeah, we already agreed to it. Have we done it or not done it? Or we need
have
to
we added, is it added in? Or is it,
I mean. Well, so the beauty of the work that we can build on is TriMet has done a great job with the regional enhanced transit, the system expansion plans, where they essentially have a long-range plan for their system to expand bus service. And just like us, they have great plans and very few resources to implement those plans. And so the idea of any of these projects moving forward, frankly, even fleet replacement, in order to say, well, we need an enhanced transit corridor on 122nd, or we need to look at Foster, those are all resource questions that I think you're bringing up sort of the key point, which is, what is the region's capacity to implement our aspirations, and at what rate? And so we are contemplating, again, as aspirational as we can to get to the year 2040, where we're managing population and employment growth. But the resources that come with that are always the challenge. And so we will contemplate it, but when we get to the investment strategy, I think you know how that conversation will go.
No, and I understand that it had to do with, I mean, a lot of the reaching the goal had to do with our ability to fund what it was we were identifying. I just want to make sure that the commitment that we all made collectively to more transit is not lost in the shuffle of all of the other issues that we have to worry about in designing a transit system.
Actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the transit system or the transit strategy that we identified that would meet the goal, and we said we needed to go beyond it, actually did not include Southwest Corridor or Power Division. And also what came out of that was, after that discussion, was TriMet's discussion about enhancement, local enhancement came out of that. So all of those things are on top of that's going to give us that some more.
Yeah.
But I think the consistent point here is we have additional plans for the PAL Division project now moving forward with BRT. That's an investment that we've agreed to. We're still trying to balance all the money accounts and get all the pieces. But it sounds to me like the bill is still coming due.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to work on our ability to pay for all the things that we agreed to.
Right.
Well, and as we begin to talk about, as we continually cite Los Angeles and Seattle as the models of let's go big, that going big, it seems to me, ought to include the full meal deal of what we've envisioned, including the stuff that we envisioned in order to reach our climate smart goals. And maybe at some place along the way, sort of being able to identify what we're doing extra in order to do that would be helpful too. Just.
Well, I think we're kind of like doctors sitting around the table and trying to decide what's the most important thing to do next.
Right.
And we all vote and agree that curing cancer should be our first priority. but having made that decision doesn't mean we've cured cancer.
Right.
We still have to go out and do it.
Yeah, exactly right.
I brought a tunnel under downtown in there.
Yeah.
So I guess at this point in the discussion, have we answered your questions sufficiently?
Yes, but I do want to follow up on, we will be looking at, once we have figured out what this new system, because we know what it looks like, comparing it to what we said that we need to do. So we will be doing that back check to figure out why we need any improvements that we said that we want to make. So we will go back and do that. We're not quite there yet.
Okay.
And then before we go, I have a couple of things. Just want to let you all know that we will be going to JPAC May 18th, and we're going to MPAC on May 10th. And we're going to the TriMet Board on May 24th. So want to talk about the next step.
And we'll be rolling out basically this. So it was really great to get your feedback today on these questions. We really did have some very specific questions. Just this is a perfect time to hear where you want us to head. And I have a feeling we'll have multiple more conversations about this and this together. So thank you very much.
Well, if you have a TriMet staff fully on board with this, right?
Aaron has voted for it.
Yes.
He's not
funny. Jamie shares the best relationship with TriMet.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So, am I remembering correctly that we're going to do a legislative update?
Yeah.
You can do a bio break if you want.
I think I do a bio break for 5 minutes.